Our scripture lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've always had a special admiration for Joseph. Based on a dream, Joseph did several things. The first, in and of itself, is enough to admire Joseph. He married a pregnant virgin. Just put that together from a man's perspective. Based on a dream, Joseph married a pregnant virgin. Based on a dream, he finds his life in danger and protects the future Messiah. Based on a dream, he breaks the letter of the law and does not follow through with his rights as a husband. He was already taking the least destructive way possible, but then he didn't even follow through with that. Based on a dream, Joseph completely allows his life to be changed. Who changes their life based on a dream? And just to be clear, we're not talking about a dream as in I have a dream that I will accomplish something. It's a dream you have at night. We all have them. I had several last night. Most of them didn't make a lick of sense. Who changes their life based on a dream? You'll recall from the scripture lesson that Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph wanted to do the right thing. Engagement in biblical times was not simply a promise. I know there's a lot of emotion, so simply a promise is kind of is not exactly a good term, but based on in America, it's a promise. It's not legal, it's a promise. In biblical times, the couple was legally married during the engagement period. Only she had not yet moved into the husband's family's home, which was the custom. And secondly, the marriage had not been consummated. But they were legally married. And divorce was required for separation. And divorce was very damaging for the woman. With Mary being pregnant, Joseph had full legal rights to have her stoned to death as an adulteress. And don't you think Joseph felt betrayed? This is part of what I was telling you a couple of weeks ago when I said we romanticize, you know, Christmas. I don't want to go too far into that this morning, but don't you think that Joseph felt betrayed? Because how else does a woman get pregnant? All of the obvious indicators stated that he had been betrayed. But even in that, Joseph was not out for revenge. Joseph was not out even for justice, at least as justice was portrayed in the law. And I just want to make a little parenthetical point here. As a side thought, sometimes there's a very thin line between justice and revenge. A very thin line. And only God can fully discern the heart of the person who says they are seeking justice and not revenge. Hopefully none of us will ever be in that place, but if we are, that is something to remember. Lord, am I really seeking justice or am I seeking revenge in the name of justice? Well, back to our main point. At this point in the saga, Joseph is the one betrayed. But he's seeking to dissolve the marriage in a method that will minimize the hurt and the damage to Mary. Think about the character of the person chosen to be the earthly father role of Jesus. From all human indicators, he has been betrayed in the worst way, and his main thought is, how do I end this catastrophe with the least amount of hurt possible? So it's in the midst of all of these emotions and all of these legal issues, Joseph has a dream. And in that dream, Joseph sees an angel say, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I imagine we have all had dreams that were so vivid that upon waking up, we were convinced it was real until we became fully awake and realized otherwise. But Joseph changed his entire life based on a dream. Who does that? The question actually is, why would a person do that? Joseph trusted God. And by trusting, Joseph believed the message of God sent through the angel. And the definition of trust is a reliance on the integrity, the strength, the ability, the assurity of a person or thing, confidence in them. All logic, all common sense declares that Mary cannot be trusted. But Joseph trusted that an angel talking to him in a dream was more real than the reality that he was facing. I want to repeat that. Joseph trusted that the reality of the angel talking to him in the dream was more real than the reality he was facing. You know, I have to admit that though I like to think of myself as a person of faith, believing in a dream of the reality in front of me would take some time. You know, honestly, many of my prayers, both public and private, seek God's wisdom, and I believe that's a good thing. I believe the angel gave Joseph wisdom. But I have to admit, often when I pray for wisdom, what I am praying for is to see things more clearly so that I can make better decisions. And there's merit in that. But sometimes God is trying to convince us to simply follow God's guidance. When John Kavanagh, a renowned ethicist, went to work at the House of the Dying in Calcutta with Mother Teresa, he was seeking a clear answer about how to spend the rest of his life. So on the first morning, he met with Mother Teresa and she asked, "And what can I do for you?" Kavanagh asked her to pray for him, and she asked him, said, "What do you want me to pray for?" And he responded, "Pray that I have clarity." And she immediately answered very firmly, "I will not do that." And so he asked her why. And she said, "Clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and must let go of." And so Kavanagh continued. He commented, "But Mother Teresa, you have the clarity that I am longing for." And she laughed and she said, "I have never had clarity in my life. What I have always had is trust. So I will pray that you will trust God." Is it likely there are some of us present that are seeking clarity when God is willing to give us guidance? Now notice the thing about God though. God always gives us guidance when we need it. I never served in the CIA. This is just something I made up, so I don't know if what I'm saying is accurate or not, but I've always understood that in the CIA, you know what you need to know. You get what you need to know on this, that, a need-to-know basis. That's what I've understood. I've never been there. So I've always said serving God is like serving the religious CIA. God lets us know what we need to know on a need-to-know basis. We don't get any information that we don't need ahead of time. God reveals the direction and the guidance we on a need-to-know basis, not as we feel we need to know it, but as God determines. Perhaps God is calling some of us today to enter into a more, not clearer relationship, but a more trusting relationship. Joseph knew that trusting relationship so that when the angel spoke in a dream, he was able to determine that that angel was sent from God and not simply the stress of his life showing itself in pictures as he slept. And because Joseph trusted God's message, he acted upon it in obedience and took Mary as his wife, despite all logic contradicting that decision. It was probably a clerical error, but I think I've told you this before, but Gene Queen told me one time, tell jokes and tell illustrations over again because they won't be remembered. I hope that's not the case, but that's what she told me. So I know I've used this one before, but we'll make the point again. But it was probably a clerical error when specialist Jeff Lewis at 23 years old got the order to parachute out of an airplane even though he had never been trained. But he got the order, and so he jumped. Thankfully, he opened the chute and he landed safely. So he was later asked about it when they realized what had happened. And he says, quote, "The Army said I was airborne qualified. I wasn't going to question it. I had a job to do, and I had to believe in what I was doing," end quote. I've never understood trained people jumping out of a perfectly good airplane myself, but particularly not ever having been trained. Joseph didn't have a clue what he was doing. Yes, he knew the scriptures, and we are told he was a person that always tried to do the right thing, but nothing had prepared him for marrying a pregnant virgin whose baby, the Messiah, already had a price on his head at birth. Joseph's human knowledge and Joseph's experience offered no source of preparation for the task he was about to embark upon. But he trusted God, and in that trust he jumped, not confident in himself, but confident in the God who had given him the order. Do you trust God? I mean, do you trust God to the point that if God calls you to an area of service that is completely out of your realm of experience, completely out of your realm of knowledge, in other words, you are clueless and you are hesitant, but you have no doubt that the urging is a calling from God, do you pursue it? Well, it depends. Do you believe God knows what God is doing even though you are clueless? If the answer is yes, then there's a good chance you will. When we are in a trusting relationship with God so that we are able to pursue God's callings, even when we don't have a clue, not only do we have the courage to jump, we do so with the confidence that our Heavenly Father is with us every step of the way. Bill Hybels is a noted pastor and author, and he conveys the following, and I'm just going to read it in his own words. When I was learning how to sail, Dad would often say to me, "Go ahead and take the boat out, but take a friend with you." A 42 sailboat on a body of water the size of Lake Michigan is a big responsibility. But I'd find a junior high friend and we'd sail past the breakwater, hoist the sails, and head out into to the open water. If I saw any cloud formation coming our way or the wind seemed to be piping up, I'd head back toward the shore, take the sails down, and regain my normal breathing pattern only when we were safely tied up in the slip. Most of the time, it was fun having a friend along, but in a storm, I knew the kid wouldn't be much help. Other times, my dad would come home from work, and we'd take the boat out together. When I was sailing with my dad, I'd actually look for cloud formations and hope for heavy air. I loved to feel the strong winds and huge waves when I was with him. My dad had sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. He had endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane. He was a veteran, and I was confident that he would be able to handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us. Everything changed when my dad was on board. There is not a calling, regardless of how unprepared we are, where God has not been before, and over which God does not have power. The obstacles are real. The reasons for fear are real. But our Heavenly Father who calls us is more real than the realities we encounter. And we can trust that if God calls us to jump, even if we don't know what we're doing, God has prepared us. And God will be with us every step of the way. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the example of Joseph. Thank you for the example of one who went against all logic, all reason, and trusted you. And in trusting you, he became the earthly adoptive father of the Messiah. Most gracious Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know the things we face. You know your callings upon our lives. And you know our tendency. At least I want to know 3, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead. But you tell us the next step. And you promise to be with us in that step. Lord, we love you and we trust you. But we want to love and trust you more. Help us to remember the courage of a human being like any of us in this room who had the courage to follow you into completely uncharted territory. Yet in doing so, he played a major role in the coming of the Messiah. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.